In the Madison Police Department podcast, we promote safety by providing information on current crime trends in the capital city. In addition, we give listeners a behind-the-badge look at community-based, problem-solving policing done the Madison way. You will hear from passionate MPD subject matter experts, people we like to call guardians. These men and women are dedicated to keeping Madison a great place to live, learn, and play.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Madison Police Department's podcast. I'm Joel Despain, Public Information Officer for the department. There's been great debate recently and frankly over the years regarding staffing levels here at the MPD. It's a very important topic in terms of public safety and the health of the men and women who diligently protect and serve this community. Joining me to provide perspective and insight is Acting Chief Vic Wall. How are you doing, Chief?
I'm good, Joel. Thank you.
Good to have you. I know that there are a lot of models that you've looked at over the years, that the command staff has looked at over the years in terms of staffing. What do those models indicate, and in terms of our current staffing, are they all pretty consistent, or there's a range?
Well, if you look nationally, it's sort of different metrics that police departments use to evaluate their strength and where they are. There's a couple different things out there that get used quite a bit. One of the most common ones that you'll hear are simple population ratios. How many officers are in an agency per 1,000 residents? And, the advantage of that is it's very simple. It's easy to calculate. It's very simple to compare yourself to other agencies. The FBI provides a whole host of data nationally by city size, by region, by state. So it's very easy just to say, well, we're at this ratio, and if you look at another agency, we're either ahead or behind. Now, we have never really focused on population ratios for a couple reasons. First is that when you look at a city like Madison, our community expects a very certain level of police services from MPD. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at ratios and try to compare us to every other police department in the country, you don't take into account those sort of expectations that the community has. Another thing that's really relevant to Madison is we're an urban center. You got the state capitol, you got the university. You know, we have about 120,000 commuters that come into Madison every day.
Is that right? 120,000.
120,000. Wow. And of course, those folks drive workload for us. Mm-hmm. They get in car accidents, they speed, they get their cars broken into, everything you can imagine.
Well, plus people on the weekend who are coming in from other areas I know to be part of the social life in downtown Madison. It's a draw.
Absolutely. And so if you just look at simple population ratios, it doesn't take those sort of details and those nuances into account. And then, of course, the implication by using population ratios is that everybody else is staffed appropriately. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my experience dealing with other police agencies and other places across the country is that very few police agencies are staffed appropriately, and very few chiefs and sheriffs think that they have the staffing they need to do the job their community expects. So we don't rely a lot on population ratios, but what I do tell people is that it's helpful to provide context. So if you won't hear me say we need to be at a specific ratio or else, you know, the city's going to collapse, but if mm-hmm. you want to just sort of say how does MPD compare to other cities in Wisconsin, other cities in our region, other cities of comparable population across the country, it's a helpful metric, mm-hmm. And it's pretty handy, and the data is easy to come by. You will see crime rates sometimes thrown around as a metric or something particularly relevant to staffing, and I'll get into that in detail a little mm-hmm, later, but sure. That's not a very meaningful metric either for a number of reasons. But if you look at really what the gold standard is out there, it's workload analysis, and that's where you look at actually what your officers are doing, and you look at sort of the real nuts and bolts of your staffing model and what kind of demands there are on officers' time. And then there's a whole series of formulas that you can use to really determine what your patrol staffing mm-hmm. should be. And that's the process we've been doing now for over a decade on generally an annual basis. And that tells us that our patrol staffing levels are not what they should be, and they're quite a bit short of where they should be to deliver the kind of service that I think our community expects of us.
And I know, as you say that as we move into the next year, that there are a number of what we might call fixed positions, people on some of our CPTs, our community police teams, mental health officers, our Langdon Street neighborhood officer, a number of positions that have been basically eliminated for now to make sure we have enough people in patrol. I think some may say, well, then you had people to cut to put into patrol and you don't need all of the rest of that. How do you respond to those people? I know you've heard this.
Well, I think it's helpful to maybe back up just a bit and say when you look at our department and our authorized strength, which currently this year is 479, but that 479 includes everybody who's a sworn officer. So that includes me, that includes command staff, supervisors, detectives. So it's not just frontline police officers. Now, of that 479, 310 of those positions, authorized positions, are police officers at the police officer rank. And of those 310, this year, 211 were allocated to patrol services, and the rest were in non-patrol positions. So the lion's share of our patrol officer rank and our overall overall department strength is focused to patrol. That's really our bread and butter. Now, when you look at those non-patrol officer positions, they do very important work, very valuable work that the community, I think, expects from us. Those units were not created in a vacuum. Those are made with input from the community, often expressly funded either through grants or through the Common Council, through the budget process. So those folks are doing things that are important to the public, and even more importantly, they're doing things that we hope reduces the workload on those that patrol function. They're problem solving, they're engaging the public, they're doing long-term proactive work.
Well, they're changing lives too in some cases.
Absolutely, as we've heard before, right at this table. But the issue is that we need to be able to deliver that core patrol service. That's how most people, if they ever encounter MPD, if they ever have a need for police assistance, it comes from patrol. And when we looked at sort of our deficiency in patrol staffing this year, it was clear that we were just not going to be able to meet the number of officers through the budget process that we would need. So that's why we made the difficult decision to eliminate some of those non-patrol positions and move them back into patrol next year. It's certainly not ideal, and I can tell you, and certainly you've heard some of this as well, that some of those neighborhoods and some of the stakeholders that will be losing those positions feel very impacted.
And they're not happy.
Definitely not.
My phone starts to ring, so I particularly have heard it from the folks, the parents of young people down on Langdon Street. They love having that Langdon Street officer there, and I've told them it is a hard decision. But we're kind of getting to a point where that's what we're facing, I think, in terms of, you know, what this community wants as a police department. I think it's something that people are going to have to wrestle with a little bit.
I agree, and certainly it is. My preference would greatly be able to have those positions remain how they were, and hopefully at some point in the future we'll be able to realize increases in patrol staffing to allow for that. But in the short run, we just have to do that core service. We have to provide that core, those core functions in patrol, responding to emergencies, and there's really no alternative.
One of the other arguments I've heard, or just things that people throw out there, is they hear that we have this the largest recruit class in the history of the City of Madison Police Department, 50 officers. And they're saying, well, you've got 50 more going to be hitting the street, and I think some of them are out with sort of cross-training, as the general public might say it, that they're out with other officers right now. Where does that come into play? I mean, I realize that these are people who are coming in to be hired because other people have retired or left the department. But I think a lot of people say, well, you're getting 50 people, so you should be fine.
Yeah, and as you stated, that the key issue is the authorized strength. And what does the budget allow our strength in terms of personnel to be? And that's the number that needs to move. When we hire every year in our academy, we're filling vacancies and hiring an anticipation of attrition over the next year. But that doesn't change the authorized strength. So when we hire 50, that's because we have a lot of vacancies to fill, for example. So it doesn't, I'm certainly happy that we'll have the 50 hitting the street, because I think we're way behind right now in terms of the attrition we've seen and some of the shortages we have currently. But it doesn't impact the long-term bottom line. It's just a year-to-year indication of what our vacancies are.
And do you think that this need for 50, because I know a lot of these people who are leaving the department, there are some who are younger who haven't been here that long, but a lot of these are people who've been here for 20, 25 years, and they've just hit the retirement age.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. I think over the years, certainly during my career, we've sort of seen the retirements ebb and flow just as people reach the retirement age and decide it's time to move on. And certainly over the last 2 years, really, we've seen a bit of a spike in terms of younger officers or officers with less tenure leaving early. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it is generational. People want to try other things. Some of it is, I think, stress and workload driven. It's been a tough couple years to work in patrol in terms of staffing shortages, inability to get time off, really difficult day-to-day grind just to stay up with the workload, and that takes a toll on people. And certainly the national narrative about policing creates some other challenges as well. But we're doing some things to try to increase retention and to the extent we're able to address some of those concerns.
I know that you have fairly constant conversations with many of the council members. Are you finding that there are sympathetic ears out there in terms of taking at least a new look at what maybe some have not realized was a real need? Or have some sort of made up their minds and they're just not open to discussions about adding to that authorized strength?
Well, I think, certainly we've tried to be very data-driven and sort of dispassionate about it and just sort of lay out the facts about what the data shows and what we think we need to do to deliver the service the community expects here. And I've done a lot of work to try to meet with alders individually and educate them and provide information and answer questions that they might have. One thing that was really apparent to me during this year's budget process was that I think our elected officials, even the ones that ended up not supporting additional MPD staffing, really heard from the public and from their constituents that public safety is a priority and that they support MPD and want MPD to have adequate resources. Ultimately, the size of MPD or any police department isn't up to a formula or up to what I think it should be. It's up to the public to decide what sort of policing they want, what level of service do they want. And so it's important that they make those desires known to those who represent them. And I think we really saw that last time around. And I'm hopeful that we'll continue to make our case moving forward and be able to keep our staffing moving forward to keep up with the city as it grows and expands.
Yeah, taking over the town of Madison in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's scheduled for 2022. And it's certainly something we've been doing a lot of planning on and a lot of work on because it will be a complicated endeavor, not just for MPD, but for all city agencies. There's a lot of work going into it.
Right. And you had touched upon this earlier, Chief, and we're going to take a moment to get more into it. But I think, some people say, well, some of these crime numbers in certain categories have gone down a little bit or they've stayed, relatively constant. So we don't really need more police. But I think, I've been here long enough and I've seen behind the scenes the work that people are doing to keep the crime rates down, whether it's with the burglary crime unit, the mental health unit, the violent crime unit, all these people who are out there doing some really good work that they're keeping some of these numbers down. To look at the need for policing based strictly on crime numbers doesn't seem to make a lot of sense either.
No, I agree, and I think in terms of the research and sort of the national standards that are out there would all agree with you. So just as a sort of a 30,000-foot overview on crime and where we're at in the city and where we have come historically, I think an important thing to keep in mind, and it's a little bit of insider baseball here, but in 2010, we changed the way that we reported crime to the FBI. So historically, we had always done what's called UCR, or Uniform Crime Reporting, and that's sort of been the long-time standard. And basically, you're just reporting seven core types of crime, serious ones, homicide, sexual assault, burglaries, those sorts of things. In 2010, we changed to what's called IBR, or Incident-Based Reporting. And while you still report those sort of core seven offenses, or eight, you actually report a much larger number, 62 total offense types is what we now report. Mm. But we didn't report those things before. So it makes it challenging to really compare crime from earlier than 2010 to currently because we just don't have that data. Now, we can compare those seven or eight core categories, but we can't do a big, deeper dive unless we're looking at sort of closer to the 2011-12 time period. And if you look at that time period to today, our crime has been very consistent. The crime, some have gone up a little, some have gone down a little, it's been pretty consistent. If you look at those seven UCR categories going back 10, 15 years, some have gone up, but many have gone down and gone down considerably, which I think is good. But in terms of how that impacts what our staffing level should be, I would say it's only moderately relevant for a few reasons. First, you know, crime is really just one part of what we do. If you look at our patrol workload and sort of the whole body of patrol officer workload, really only a little over half of it is related to crime. And if you think about the average thing that people sometimes call the cops for, a lot of it really isn't crime-based. You know, your traffic accidents, your speeding, your runaways, your noise complaints, your things like that that drive a whole host of our workload, mental health crises and incidents, issues related to alcohol overconsumption. Those things typically will not manifest themselves.
And in Madison, crowd control.
Absolutely. Special events, all that stuff.
Crowd management, I'm sorry.
Isn't going to manifest itself. You will never see that reflected in crime data. You know, we've talked a lot about emergency detentions and the time it takes us to convey subjects who have been detained under Chapter 51 all the way up to Winnebago. And it's, on average, it's about 21 officer hours to process one of those, but that won't show up in any crime data. Second piece is that you sort of presume that the time it took to investigate a burglary, for example, 15, 10 years ago, is the same amount it takes today. And cases are much more complicated. It takes much more time to investigate the same type of crime today than it did 10, even 5 years ago. You've got smartphones, you've got digital evidence, you've got video, you've got all sorts of other things that make it more complicated for our folks to do their work and to do it effectively. And then when you also look at sort of what impacts citizens' and residents' quality of life and perceptions about the city, a lot of it doesn't have an impact on crime or actual crime rates. You know, think of, we talked a lot about shots fired, and we report our shots fired incidents.
I was going to say, the FBI doesn't require us to record that data, I don't believe, and yet we've been doing it for several years just because we saw that it was a trend.
Exactly, and if for example, we respond to a shots fired incident and you find some shell casings in the middle of the street, but no victims, no witnesses, that's not going to be a reported crime, but it could have been an attempted homicide. And it could have been just someone shooting in the air, but it certainly has an impact on our residents' perceptions of safety and quality of life. And, you know, that's another limitation of the crime data. And I think the final point that I'll make about it is, you know, clearly Madison is a relatively safe city. If you compare us to comparable cities by population across the country, we're about the middle of the pack, and that's good. And I think to the extent we have relatively safe city where our residents enjoy a high quality of life, you know, I think MPD should rightly take some credit for that. And I think the message from that is not, hey, mission accomplished, you don't need any more cops. The message is, you know, we've been doing things right, and our philosophy on policing historically in terms of being engaged with the community and doing problem solving and trying to be proactive plays a big role in that. And if we get away from that and if our staffing doesn't keep up so that we can't keep up with that, there'll be adverse impacts down the road, and it makes it much more difficult to catch up.
And so we're in our final podcast of the year, and you've had the opportunity now to serve as acting chief for a bit, and my guess is as we move into the new year, you'll be in this position, I mean, who knows, but I'm going to guess at least 6 months or so. What are your hopes for the near future of the department and for the community?
Well, you know, I can say that having done this for almost 3 months now, I'm just consistently impressed by the dedication and the professionalism of the men and women on the Madison Police Department. So much of what they do every day doesn't get any public notice. There are so many stories, and I know you see this across your desk too, Joel, of people just going above and beyond and showing amazing compassion and dedication to victims and to residents who have been impacted by crime. And, you know, that stuff never gets reported. It never, you know, it just doesn't get out there. But we see it every day. And to be able to be in a position to lead this department that I know really contributes to the quality of life we have here in the city is really been a privilege to me, and I've enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm looking forward in the next year to continue that. We obviously, with a department our size, we are going to continue to have challenges and things we have to do moving forward, and I'm looking forward to tackling those next year.
All right. Well, thank you, Chief. Good to have you on the podcast for our final one of the year, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, Joel.
And I'm Joel Despain, and we thank you for listening, and you have a nice holiday.